It's Mistress Carrie, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Greetings, humans. This is Starscream, and you're listening to Toycast. And if any of you call me a parts former one more time...
Now, Toycast. Oh, yes. Listen in to the only toy podcast you will ever need.
Hello, and welcome to an all new generation of Toycast as we get the origins of any and all toy fans that we can. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike, and today's featured guests are over 26,000 subscribers on YouTube and over 15,000 followers on Whatnot. These content creators never stop shooting until they score. They are a husband and wife team of Funko, Lego, and toy collectors in general. Also, no one should be sleeping on these awesome creators. It's John and Joanna Darling from Slapshot Pops. Let's freaking go. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, Mike. We're doing great.
That's good. That's good. Awesome, awesome. We are going to start talking toys here on Toycast. All right, question one. What is or was the first toy you remember having as a kid?
Lego. Yeah, it was a very small Lego set. I think it had like 30, 40 pieces, and it was like a build-your-own-imagination set.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, back in the day when Lego didn't have a million licenses, when they actually made you use your imagination, not just build an AT-AT.
True.
Or a helmet or whatever. Yeah, awesome. What about you, John?
A first toy? I remember I had a Tickle Me Elmo that I think I carried around until a really high age that one probably shouldn't carry it around.
Oh, boy. Well, I will remind everyone that even though these guys don't curse for the most part, they are family friendly. This show is not. This show is explicit just in case, because I am all about the innuendos and don'ts. So I'm going to let my brain just slide right over that one. Was there a particular adult who was supportive of you playing with toys as a kid? Was there anyone who was unsupportive?
Everybody in my life was supportive. The more toys, the merrier. I was spoiled.
Yeah, we were all about toys. I mean, I grew up in a big family, so we didn't have like a lot of toys per kid. But toys were always great. Everybody was always happy whenever there was a new toy in the house.
What types of toys were your favorites to play with?
Probably Lego and dolls, like Barbie dolls.
Yeah,
I remember having a lot of, you know, Lego sets as well, or Mega Block style sets that were similar to Lego. And then I was really into like hockey action figures for a little while, so that was exciting.
We'll get to this way, way later, but I'm going to say it now so it can be said later also, so it reminds them. With all the transitioning you're doing, Funko, give us a Hockey Freddy already.
I know. What are they doing?
Oh, you haven't seen?
I haven't seen
as of this recording, Mariotti and all that. Jeez.
Yeah, I just saw as soon as I got home a couple minutes ago. It's definitely a bummer, but maybe it's the right move for him.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So what were your favorite childhood toys that stood out more than the others? So, yes, we all had stuff growing up. We all had not everything, but we had a multitude of things. What's like the one part of it that stands out? Like, you can have this, but you don't care about anything else, kind of thing.
Seems to be a repetitive question, but Lego. Yeah, I feel like Barbie dolls are far in between, and Lego has stayed ever since I was a kid. Every year I've bought myself a set or have been gifted a set.
Very cool, very cool. John?
Yeah, pretty similar. I mean, I was definitely all about the building toys. Yeah, so anything Lego or building blocks related, I was all about that. I didn't care. I don't remember having too much anything else. That was about it.
Do you prefer the label of action figures, dolls, toys, or other labels?
I think it depends on the context.
True.
Can't really label something.
You know. Yeah, yeah. I explain this every episode because, like, when I was a kid back in the 80s, yes, I am old. It's usually grandparents or aunts and uncles that don't get it. Oh, Mikey's playing with his dolls. They're not dolls, Grandma. You know, it's that old thing of the adults not understanding. But I mean, I think action figures or toys, I mean, toys in general pretty much is a nice label for everything.
Yeah. Groups it all together.
Yeah, pretty much. Good guys or bad guys, which toys are your favorites to play with the most?
Bad guys. Bad guys all the way. Any Joker toy I can get my hands on, I'll take any day.
I knew you were going to say bad guys. I'm all about the good guys. I loved the Justice League. It was definitely, I loved watching that animated series growing up. I was all about the heroes.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Give me a triple. Now, my brain's not a nice place to be.
What is or was your favorite toy vehicle or playset? No, Transformers do not count as a toy vehicle because they're technically a robot, too.
I actually had a collection of John Deere tractors and trucks, and that was probably my favorite thing to play with for a little while. I would go outside with my brother, because he was the only one who would play with me, and we would just fill it up with dirt and pretend to do things outside. So those were my favorite vehicles.
Very cool. John?
Does a remote control vehicle count?
Yeah, that counts.
For my 12th birthday, my godmother went all out, and we had just moved to a new state. I was not really happy about the move because it was like my fourth or fifth time changing schools and leaving all my friends. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, in the mail, I got a like $250 giant. This thing was massive, like a Hummer RV or Hummer RC car. And man, I love that thing. I played with that thing until it died. So
very cool, very cool. Did you and your friends ever? And I feel this is more of an '80s kids thing than a '90s kids thing, but it is what it is. Did you and your friends ever pretend with your toys that you had? By this, I mean, did you say, "I'm going to be this toy and you can be that toy"? Like John can be the piece of glass and Joanna can be the Coke bottle top, kind of thing.
I'm gonna have to probably say no on that.
I didn't think so. Very much an '80s thing.
I didn't really have friends, so I'm just kidding.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just kidding. No, I can't say that we did anything like that growing up.
Yeah, it's very much a 80s Imagineering type of thing. What features define a good toy to you? How true does the item feel in comparison to the source material likeness?
Based on structure or durability, I would say it needs to withstand a couple of falls.
Very cool.
I think it matters now as we're like matters more now that we're older. I feel like as a kid, if you were given something and it like say you were given like a X-Wing, for example, from Star Wars, but it had like six wings instead of four, you probably were just excited that it could like swoosh around and you could play with it. Where now, as you know, they release an X-Wing with six wings from any company, you know, the whole community would be up in arms and be like, that's not accurate, that's not canon, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Well, as kids, we could just break two of them off. There you go. Then we made it accurate.
True. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We didn't care about condition or anything. Yeah, it was just durability and how quickly can we get it out of the box and play with it.
Absolutely. Now, I know these things are sort of a thing of the past, but what does toy packaging have to have? And the reason why I say it's a thing of the past is because of the example I'm going to use here. You go into a toy store, which I know there are some mom and pop toy stores and some other, but there's no Toys R Us, there's no nothing other like specific toy department stores anymore. So you go into a store, what does, let's say you've got a Funko Pop, a Funko Soda, a Funko Gold, a Funko Rewind, and a Bitty Pop. Like, what is that going to – which is going to draw to you the most? And I already know, I think, both of these answers, I think. But, Joanna, go ahead.
Bitty all the way. The minions are better. I will pick up any – the smallest toy possible each time.
I think if we're going into a store and we're looking at a bunch of Funko products, I think I'd probably have to go with a soda just because of the blind packaging. You don't know if it's the Common or the Chase. So add more excitement to the purchase.
Cool, cool. All right. Do you I think I know the answer to this, but we'll figure it out. Do you open your toys or do you leave them packaged? If you keep toys packaged, do you have any specific criteria for that?
I think I'm a both collector. I keep some out of box and some in box. Price matters, yeah. I think. That's the variable. If it's under $100, I'll definitely unbox it. If it's over $100, it'll stay pre-packaged.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both for myself as well. Yeah, definitely the more expensive items, we're definitely going to keep in nice protectors or make sure it stays in the packaging. Like, we have several Lego sets that are valued at well over $1,000, and those aren't sets that we plan on building. We're just keeping them in as best condition as possible. And same thing with the Pops. Anything over $1,000, we're definitely trying to preserve its condition. But I'm also not afraid to take anything out of the box and display it and enjoy it, you know.
Okay, follow up to that, because what you just said confuses me. I understand not taking a 400-piece limited Freddy Funko out of his Ken doll box. But how can you not take the Lego out of the box? Because it's not built. Like, how does that retain of a – what's that value retention if it's – you're not even building the set? What's the purchase of – what's the point in buying it?
Oh, because it's limited edition. It's rare, and you wanna have it. I will say, though, the two sets that I mean, everything's our collection, but the two sets that I purchased years ago, I bought them with the intention of building them. It's just when you put it aside and then you take it out of the closet 3, 4, 10 years later, and you're like, oh my God, this is worth X amount. It kind of makes you think, because if you do take it and you crack that seal, you know the value is going to instantly diminish. And when it comes to a product like Lego, as soon as you crack that seal, it's like the difference between a new car and a used car, and the value is just, it plummets.
I guess my confusion is, isn't the point of buying Lego sets to build them, not just collect pieces of whatever in a cardboard box?
So some are. We've been lucky enough to stay on budget and buy a lot of sets recently because we don't have the space to build them. With a backlog of 600 plus Lego sets, I don't think we're really worried about the limited sets right now. I guess when it comes down to it and we don't have any more sets to build, then yeah, we'll crack the set open because it's not a selling set. We just want to keep it for memories. But with such a big backlog, we'd rather keep it closed and sealed and in mint condition.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, 600 sets, 600 videos, Slapshot Bricks coming in 2024.
We'll see.
Oh, I'm putting too much pressure on them. I'm so sorry.
We'll start with one video first and see how it goes.
If as a kid or an adult, you were only allowed to choose one toy franchise to collect from, which one would you choose and why? So toy franchise, Transformers, He-Man, Star Wars, DC.
Oh, like a license?
Yeah.
It's probably Star Wars for me. I mean, I love Marvel. I love DC. But at the end of the day, if I have to pick one, I think it's because I can't pick Marvel over DC or DC over Marvel. So Star Wars is my go-to.
I'd probably do Disney.
Cool. As an adult, do you prefer vintage toys or modern toys?
Vintage.
Um, I like sometimes when they do modern stuff, but with like a vintage, like a throwback. Yeah, where they like almost redo something, but with better detail, better quality, better packaging, a better play experience. Kind of like what Funko just did with the Wacky Wobbler they just released, you know. They did a really good job with it, but it's also a throwback to something that could be considered vintage in their company nowadays.
Yep, absolutely. Best thing I can give for an example for that is the original Rodimus Prime toy from the Transformers line, whereas a couple of years ago when they were doing Kingdom, they updated Rodimus, and it's pretty much the classic toy, but it's all modern manufacturing, all modern sculpting, all modern all that. What is one toy you always gravitate to more than the rest? So basically, what's the one toy, John, you're going to have at your desk at work, or Joanna, the same thing kind of thing, versus everything else that's in the house?
I don't have anything at my desk at work. I should.
Well,
but if I would, I definitely would have brought like a little Lego minifig to just hang out while I'm working, because it would be small enough to where nobody would notice, but also like a nice little like motivation piece to finish my work and go home.
I have a Lego mug as a pencil holder always on my desk. So I would have to say Lego just by default.
Yeah,
that's awesome. There are always, even though there are always toy lines that people never purchase, are there any that you specifically and purposefully avoid? This can be a toy line, specific character, etc. Like, you go into that store and you're looking around and you're like, oh, horror toys, no thanks.
I would, like a specific line?
Anything, just, is there stuff that you just don't buy?
I know for me it's Hot Toys. Really expensive, high-end, very detailed six-scale figures. I love them, but I started to get into it for like 6 months, and then they're too expensive. They take too long, but I know there's stores that carry them, and if they do carry them, I'll look a little bit, but I won't look too much, because I know that I'll go down that rabbit hole again, and we just can't. There's no space.
Nope. Oh boy. How large or small is your toy collection? Do your toys take up the whole house, or are they relegated to one room, shelf, or something like that?
They are taking up the entire bottom level of the house right now. And the rest, about 90% of our Lego sets, are housed at my sister's house. We try not to bring anything upstairs, so our house upstairs looks normal. It's just downstairs is where the hoarding begins.
Very cool. How do you keep track of your collection?
We use Pop Price Guide for our Funko collection, and we use Brick Economy for our Lego collection. Both great websites and very easy to track Lego sets and Funko Pops and Funko Sodas, of course.
Very cool, very cool. Now, folks, you can always go over to Slapshot Pops on YouTube and check out everything on how this next question is going to go. But how do you display your toys?
Right now, they're on bookcases, Billy bookcases from IKEA. We put them in a pop protector. Anything under $100 goes in a pop protector. Anything over $100 goes in a hard stack protector. And we face them face out is how we currently display them. Our Lego is on top of display tables and acrylic risers.
Very cool, very cool. All right, I know this is going to hurt John more than it probably hurts Joanna, but the house is on fire. If you could only keep one toy from your entire collection, what is the one toy you would run back into the fire to save? You can only keep one Freddy, John. You can't keep them all.
What is, oh my God, this is a hard question.
Yes, it is.
You go first, John.
I would have to say Freddy Boba Fett, I guess, but there'd be a lot of tears that day.
Yeah.
Probably my Marina Bay Sands Lego set.
Yeah, something else that's virtually irreplaceable.
Very cool, very cool. All right, folks, that's 20 questions down. We're going to go to a quick ad break. You can hear some ads and some other stuff. We'll come back with the other questions right after this.
Yo, Joe, and welcome to the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast, where a punk rock band of brothers get together to talk about one of our shared loves, toy collecting.
Toy hunt by day, punk rock band by night. We'll take any excuse to get in the van.
We all collect different toy lines like those real American heroes.
G.I. Joe!
To the toys that are more than meets the eye, Transformers.
To He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
From vintage to modern and all topics in between, you can always expect some rowdy and passionate discussion because we love talking toys here on the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast.
What was that universal greeting again? Never mind, I remember.
Ba-weep, Grana. Weep, Ninny-bong.
Hey guys, it's Rodimus Primal, and be sure to check out my YouTube channel. Join me as I have Transformers discussions, retrospectives, toy reviews, and more. You can also follow me on Twitter at Rodimus Primal, as well as Facebook and Instagram at Rodimus Primal Show. Transform and roll out, and be sure to check out my content till all are one.
Hurry, Skeletor, hurry!
The Powers of Grayskull series has covered every episode of all of the Masters of the Universe cartoons except for two. Join Optimus Solo and TFG and Mike as they tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become Masters in Space, evolve into the Masters of Grayskull, and finally reveal the revelation of Masters of the Universe. We'll also be finding out the origins of how guests got into or out of watching the Masters of the Universe cartoons, and so much more. You can find the podcast at geekcastradio.com and any podcatching client you choose to use. By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, we all have the power.
He-Man! Always He-Man!
Last big party of the summer, folks. Let's go out with a bang!
Hey everybody, it's Jason with 7 Bucks a Pop and Mystery Grail. In case you didn't know, 7 Bucks a Pop is your number one stop for buying Funko Pops online. In addition to the thousands of Funko Pops that you could purchase right now, we have our popular Pop Shields and Pop Shield Armors, plus our Signature Series collection featuring authenticated signatures on Funko Pops. And join us on MysteryGrail.com for your weekly Funko Mystery Box. We have our Sunday drops every week at 3 p.m. Eastern and our Theme Thursday drops every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern. What a time to be a Mystery Grailer. Check us out on 7bucksapop.com and MysteryGrail.com. Plus on social media on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube.
That's 7bucksapop.com.
Hey, that was fun!
All right, we are back here on ToyCast with John and Joanna Darling from Slapshot Pop, Slapshot Bricks, and every other hockey thing they're going to do in their lives. Especially set up a new hockey rink wherever they end up living next, as long as it's cold enough, right, John?
Oh, I would love that. Yeah. One day.
One day. Here's the toy box challenge. You get one 18 by 18 by 18 box. The only toys you can keep have to fit in the box. What can you pack into it?
It's a long list of toys. An 18 by 18 by 18 is a big box. All right. I would probably pack two or three of my architecture Lego sets. They're pretty small. I can probably fit three or four in them. And I could probably fit another five pops. So my Sonic pops and two of my Sailor Moon pops.
I'd probably grab a bunch of Freddy's, a couple Captain America pops. Couple Lego brickheads, and I don't think that box is big enough, but I don't know.
No, John, you have to leave Freddy's behind.
Yeah, that'd be tough.
I still have maybe space. Minis. Can I fit my minis in your box?
No, you're doing great. Probably another like Lego set here and there. It's too hard to pick one right now.
All right, so as you can tell, folks, obviously, because it's one of their two main toy lines, are you a Funko fan?
Just a little bit, yeah.
What is something you want in pop form that has never been made? It cannot be a Freddy, Star Wars, or Marvel. Think outside the box.
Anything Studios Ghibli, that would be fantastic if they acquire that license. Either Kiki or Tombo or Totoro or any of the lines, anything from Spirited Away would be fantastic. So Studios Ghibli, which is probably not going to happen because it's hard for them to release their license.
I think it'd be really cool. And I also think it would open up a huge market for Funko that could be untapped, and that could be sports moments. They've done movie moments and they've done sports pops. But I would love to see sports moments pops highlighting, you know, huge moments and victories and, you know, shots and goals, points and everything over the last 40, 50 years and all different sports, basketball, hockey, tennis, football, you name it, you know, famous players doing awesome things.
Absolutely. That would be amazing. First thing I think of is that save Bobby Orr did way back in the day. Oh man, if we could have a pop of that, that would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
So what is it about Funko that drew you guys in?
I think for me at least, it was the simplicity, but it was also the fact that you could collect something across so many different IPs and that they would all look uniform on the shelf, with all the boxes fitting on top of one another, next to each other. It looks very clean. Whereas some other toy lines, the packaging is a little bit awkward. Sometimes things might be cool, but they don't display well. I think Funko Pops just hit a lot of things on the head for me in that regard.
I like the fact that it reminds me of childhood. So like John says, it's all in one similar packaging. So I can collect over various different things that remind me of my childhood, and I can display them all together in one neatly placed shelf.
Very cool. Very cool. What was the most money you spent on a toy?
Oh man, you're looking at me?
I'm gonna go first. The most I've ever spent on a toy was probably $600. And what it was a Lego set.
That's a lot. $600?
And it was a Lego set, yep.
Bro.
That was the most I've ever spent.
You need a budget.
No, you're gonna need the budget. Go ahead. You could tell everybody yours.
It's no secret. I've told a lot of people this. I'm proud of it. I saved up for a long time. When the opportunity arose, the seller was very patient. Let me do a payment plan. And I bought Freddy Boba Fett for $2,500.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
I think that might be the record so far on this podcast.
Oh, I'm not trying to set the record.
No. I know.
It was a big mistake.
No. But I'm saying, like, every time I ask that question, it varies. Most people are like, oh, I spent 150 here. I spent 200 here. I spent, like Joanna said, 600 here. I don't think in 2 years of doing this format out of the, 14 years the show's podcast has been online or offline, whatever. I don't think we've ever had anyone say they've spent over $1,000.
Wow, you made the most mistakes.
That's because I'm telling the truth. I guarantee you somebody's not fessing up to their purchases.
Yeah, I know some of the people that you've done interviews with. I don't know if they're telling the truth.
Yeah, I don't think $2,500 is that crazy.
We're not pointing anyone out, folks. We're not calling anybody out here. But yeah, for me, like, I don't really I'm trying to remember what is the most for a single that I've, like, just a single toy, not counting like back in the day in 2008 when I had a nice job and whatever else, I ended up spending $800 for a full BotCon set, but that was BotCon. It was five figures plus, it was like eight figures for $800, so that wasn't that bad. Of course, now one of those figures goes up for over $1,500. God, I wish I had kept that thing. Oh boy. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. What's the most single? I don't end up buying most, like, Funko Pops. I don't buy a lot of the more expensive ones. I just don't. I will buy stuff in sets and things. Like, I've got a deal worked out with somebody where I'm going to be able to complete what I want out of the Yu-Gi-Oh line. So that's, you know.
Like a collection, like a bulk
purchase? Yeah. So that's
So John continues to be the one with the most mistakes. Great.
Well, you know, it is what it is. So on on the flip side of that, what is the cheapest toy you bought? What was the best deal you ever got for a toy that may have been worth quite a bit more than what you paid?
Oof. I don't know.
Probably a pop that you bought that has now tripled in value.
Yeah, I mean, I've purchased we bought a lot of Funko Pops. At least I bought a lot in like 2014, 2015, 2016 that have all risen significantly in value.
For retail. So yeah. $15 probably.
Yeah. Just somewhere around there.
I think the best deal was I didn't drink it because I don't drink this type of soda, but I spent $6 on 3 bottles of Diet Dr. Pepper to get that little sweet pop.
There you go.
And now they're releasing that.
Nice folding. You deserve a raise.
Thank you.
Real sweet spinning at the spin cycle.
You do deserve a raise in the form of a sweet Diet Dr. Pepper.
Ooh, sip it.
That is sweet.
These are my delicates. Tumble dry. Extra heat.
I'll take these. He just folds.
Isn't she great?
How do you guys know?
Real sweet going back in its spin cycle.
Diet Dr. Pepper.
It's the sweet one.
And now they're like, hey, we have extra stocks in case so it doesn't go to the landfill. You can have it for like whatever price they're, I don't know. I've heard rumors they're going to be releasing whatever. And how they have remaining stock of that pop that came out 4X number of years ago is beyond me, but it is what it is.
In a warehouse somewhere.
Yeah, we can't control it. You know, whatever they pull out of the warehouses.
Yep. So I think question 25 kind of it's null and void for John and Joanna folks because they collect Funko and Lego. And the question is, what modern and or vintage toy lines are you currently collecting? That's what they collect.
That's a pretty
one. Yeah, we're pretty streamlined in what we collect. We go hard for the two things that we do collect, though.
How many Freddy Fluxes do you have? Or are they three different ones that sit behind you when you film?
I actually have the whole set. I was lucky enough. I found three from one seller, and then a couple years later, I found the fourth one.
Okay, because I always see them because they always stand out more than the other Freddies because they're black boxes and whatever else. I'm like, are those three of the same figure? Which I can't really say anything.
No,
they all
have very subtle differences.
I know, again, know the answer to this one, but do you visit toy shows or conventions? When you visit toy shows or conventions, do you have a typical methodology? Do you bring a certain amount of money for what you're searching for, et cetera, et cetera?
So we take cash and whatever budget we have that month, we have a toy budget and whatever toy budget we have, that's what we use for the cons as well. So we won't buy anything else that month. If we have a con or a toy show, we use the same budget that because that works for us. Mm-hmm. And we take that in cash. It's usually anywhere between $300 to $500. And whatever we don't use, we roll over to the next month. And that's the way to enjoy the con without coming home and feeling super guilty that we are now poor.
Yes, exactly. No biscuits for you, Alex. Sorry. Hey, you got to bring up the CDO at one point or another, Chief Dog Officer.
Yeah, of course.
He was chomping away back here. I was worried you were going to hear it on the podcast.
Hey, if you know animals or other things in the house come to life, sure, fine, we just roll right into it. What do you think it is about our generation that causes our childhood toys to mean so much more to us than, say, for instance, our parents' generation?
That's a very good question. I think because we have so much pop culture surrounding a lot of the characters that we grew up with, you know, they've really expanded on a lot of universes with movies and TV shows and exploring the backstories of like a lot of comic book characters now and different animes and stuff. So I think because everything that we grew up with is now so present in our daily lives and it's so expanded. And now all these companies realize that, you know, this generation, the past few generations grew up on these characters and they have disposable income and they'll buy some of this stuff, you know, they're just going to keep making it. And then we just keep buying it. And then it's just kind of like this endless cycle.
Yeah, absolutely. What is your motivation for purchasing toys to display, play, fiddle? Describe your collecting style. Are you a completionist, a storyteller, a cherry picker, or otherwise?
If we're talking about Funko, I used to be a completionist, and now the way that Funko is pumping out items, I'm a cherry picker. I'll pick out the items that mean the most to me. As far as Lego, it depends on the line. If it's architecture line, I am a completionist. I have every single architect set, and it's going to continue unless I can't keep up with it. Any other line, I am a cherry picker.
Yeah, I would say very similar. Like when I first started collecting Funko, I was trying to complete lines or, you know, make my way towards, trying to go after certain sets. But now it's just they just put out so much. You just have to pick and choose what really means the most to you. With Lego, I'm not really a completionist with any line. I kind of cherry pick from the lines that I like the most to build. But I will say I do collect a majority of the Star Wars sets they put out. There's only a handful here and there. But yeah, unlike Joanna with the architecture line, I don't think. Oh, actually, I take it back. I Speed Champions. Yes, I'm a completionist with the Lego Speed Champions.
I was about to blow
No,
up
you're
your...
right. No, you're right. You're right.
I don't really know what you're talking about.
You're right. Yeah. Every time they come out with Speed Champions, I have every set except for the 2023 sets. But yeah, every set going back to, I don't know, 2011 when they started the line or whatever it was, I have all of them.
Very cool. Very cool. Have you ever purchased a toy for a child with the ulterior motive of playing with it yourself?
Yes. My niece's toys. We've been purchasing bigger Lego sets. Mm-hmm. And although she is amazing at it for her young age, John and I know that we have to help her build it. So mm-hmm. we end up building it as well.
There you go. That's so cool. Do you do any toy modifications or customs, painting, building dioramas, etc.?
Yes. I've recently, I guess in the last year, got really into custom Lego sets. So not to the point where they're my own designs, going off of what other amazing people have done in the Lego community. So just parting out sets and buying the instructions from them and the stickers if necessary. And I just see it as a way to make our collection a little bit more unique. I like building stuff that I don't think Lego is ever going to produce. And it's fun. It just kind of takes the hobby to the next level.
Very cool. Very cool. Do you think toy companies should specifically have adult collector toys, child toys, or find a way to mix both?
I think they should have both. I don't know if they should I don't know what you mean by mix. Hopefully just have both categories.
Yeah, basically mixing both is like they have them both and say for the summer Transformers is going to release a bunch of stuff for kids of today, whereas say for the winter they release a bunch of stuff for us collectors that is, you know, more high grade. That, you know, every time I see Transformers posting on Instagram or wherever else, I'm like, some of these toys that they're advertising, it's so weird because they just did from the IDW comics, they did the Tarn tank, and in their story they're like, parents swipe up now to pre-order, and I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, no sane parent is going to pre-order Tarn from the comics for their kid, even though he's just a robot in a tank. But with where that character comes from and what that character is all about, you don't want your kids having that character.
No, it makes sense. 100%. I think a good company to use as an example is Lego. They do a really good job of, you know, they have Duplo, like the larger mm-hmm. style bricks that are each, you know, easier for younger kids to handle. And then they have sets that are specifically targeted for like 7+, and then they get a little bit more advanced for the 13+, and then of course they have the sets that are very advanced, very large, and meant for the adult collectors. So I don't think Funko does a really good job of that at the moment. I think they kind of just put out whatever they put out and they just hope for the best. I don't really think they've learned their demographics too well. I think they could really, if they had a team, sit down and figure out what products should we market to kids, what products are we marketing to teenagers, and what products should we market to adults.
Do you have a, and I'll have to tell you the genesis of the question before you answer, but do you have a my parents got rid of my toys story? When I was growing up in the 80s, I come from divorced parents. My parents divorced in 82. I lived with my mom, and every once in a while I would stay with my dad. At my mom's, I had some good guys, I had some bad guys, but I pretty much had every single Masters of the Universe toy, including Castle Grayskull at my mom's. I had the Snake Mountain playset with the microphone at my dad's. One weekend, I went down to Rhode Island to visit my dad. My toys were gone. Like, just gone. So, yeah, my parents got rid of my toys story. You got any of those?
I know John does, so I'm going to go first. I actually don't have a parents got rid of my toys. My parents stayed together until I was an adult, so I always had an eye on my toys.
John?
I guess a little bit of a story. I was really big into collecting hockey cards when I was in high school, and I was actually doing pretty well. I was buying packs and selling some and using the money to buy some rare stuff for my collection. And my collection within like 2-3 years had gotten pretty large. I had several $1,000s worth of sales every single month on eBay. And my mom especially was getting concerned that I was spending way too much time sorting cards, organizing cards, looking up prices. She was getting very frustrated because there'd be 50 to 60 envelopes, you know, going out every single week and another, you know, several dozen coming in for my personal collection. So she didn't get rid of my collection, but she pretty much threatened to. So to get back at her and to prove that I wasn't wasting my time, I actually sold off most of my own collection. I made quite a bit of money, but I kind of regret doing that. And I wish I would have just took a step back and said, you know, I can do what I want. Like, you can't, you know, threaten me or persuade me to go one way or another. Like, this is what I want to do. But a lot of those cards I sold, unfortunately, are now similar to the instance that you mentioned. They're worth a lot more than what I sold them for, but it's okay, you know, because we're here now and we're still collecting and we're still having fun.
So he says they're still collecting it, which is ironic compared to question 34. This is a long question because it has multiple questions inside of it. Blame my friend Josh because he wrote this when I didn't. Do you feel you are coming to an end of your active collecting? If so, what has signified this phase for you? Was there ever a moment when you were done with toys? Have you ever considered stopping as a collector or even selling your whole collection?
So I can speak for the both of us. Absolutely not. We absolutely are kids at heart every single day. Sometimes collecting does get a little bit overwhelming, but the fact that we love both Funko and Lego, when they're dropping too much on Funko that we're not fans of, we'll buy more Lego and vice versa. We absolutely have tons of plans for the future for both of it, for both of us, and it all includes toys.
Yeah, it's kind of all centered around toys. I mean, we're looking at buying our first home next year, and we're trying to find a space that's adequate enough for allowing us to finally display both hobbies that we love and have a passion for, and then also in that space encompassing room for us to make content, you know, more content on both those hobbies. So yeah, I think we're pretty much taking it to the next level, or where now we're revolving our lives completely 100% around both hobbies.
Wow. So I'm going to say this, folks, and this isn't revealing too much, but 5 acres of land, you could have a Lego building and a Funko building.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
And then you'd have to have like camera cranes go between two studios.
It's a movie set.
Yeah,
that's right. What is something that does not have a toy of it that you would love to have in toy form?
Oh, I got a good one. Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite movies growing up was Top Gun. Loved Tom Cruise. I loved the F-14 Tomcat. And I know that Tom Cruise does not like his movies, him being in any sort of action figure form. And I think it's kind of a bummer because he put the Navy in such a positive light, you know, especially with the Top Gun sequel and everything. And, you know, he makes everything he does look so cool, you know, being like a special agent in Mission Impossible and everything else that he does in his movies. But yeah, I always wanted like a, you know, an F-14 official like Top Gun toy. And I know there's some companies out there that make like versions of it, but there's like no official like
Maverick. It's not officially licensed.
Yeah exactly. So
I already said mine, the Studios Ghibli. Yeah, I'll go back to it all day, yeah, every day. If they make something of that, I will. I know John's excited to go to SDCC one year. If they drop anything Studios Ghibli, I'll be the first one on the plane.
Very cool. All right, folks, we're at question 37 in a row, and I specifically put this question here because of that old joke. Now, granted, they are sitting in the same room, so this normally I have one or the other here as far as like husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, et cetera, whatever. How have your spouses, significant others, mates, partners, et cetera, dealt with your collection?
Pretty well. No, I got very lucky. I was after, you know, living with parents and family members who weren't very encouraging of my hobbies and not very supportive. You know, I kind of had like a couple years, I believe people refer to them as the dark ages, where you're not collecting as much. In my instance, I definitely wasn't building as much Lego as I am now. I still collected Funko, of course, but I did everything sort of quietly. And I didn't really allow anybody to know about my hobbies or anything. And then when I went on dates, also didn't bring it up, didn't talk about it. And then lo and behold, after countless terrible dates, I finally made my way into Joanna's life. And then it turned out that she was just as big of a kid and had way more toys than I had at the time. So that was one of the best aspects of our early relationship, and now it's blossomed into a business that we have together. So
anything you would like to say, Joanna?
As John just said, I had more toys than he did, so fitting his Funko Pops into my shelves was not a big deal because I was already making mistakes of my own. So yeah, he just added on, and I think I showed him a different like life of Lego. He was already collecting Lego at the time, but I just showed him a different, like different lines and modulars and bigger things.
Yeah.
And
I was strictly only Star Wars, and you kind of like, I would legit only go to the Lego store and only go to that one section, and like seeing and talking to you, of course, you were like, you know, there's other parts of the store, and maybe that was bad for our wallet financially. Yeah, but
because now he buys a lot as well. So
there's a lot of amazing lines.
And now I buy more pops. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know if we should be together. Don't they say opposites attract? But we're like the same. So that's why we need a lot of land.
Yeah,
there you go. A lot of land and a lot of like business expense receipts there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The less money to Uncle Sam, the better.
Absolutely. Toy collecting can have its struggles. What is one aspect you tend to struggle with the most?
I don't know. I think we do a very good job after, you know, the years that we've been doing this. I feel like we do a good job of pacing ourselves. We do a good job of budgeting. Most stuff, when it comes out, we don't buy it right away. We're always savvy. We look for deals. We try to, you know, with Lego, we save up our VIP points. I know Funko is now doing this rewards program as well. You know, obviously with the channel, I'm always tracking prices for Funko Pops and waiting for the market to dip to try to pick up something that I need.
A struggle for us right now is currently space. When we see items that we really like, we just can't afford to pick up everything. Although we set a good budget for ourselves, at the end of the day, sometimes it comes down to space rather than money right now. We're very tight where we are. We've outgrown the space. So we try to keep our wants to like one or two per month because we don't want to get rid of anything to find a new home for something else.
Yeah, heaven forbid you screw up, John, and she sells all the Freddies.
I think she'll be pretty well off for at least a few months. So,
I'm going to Hawaii.
All I say is if you do, man, get top dollar.
Oh, so. I am. I already know who I'm selling my stuff to.
Perfect.
I'm going to Hawaii.
Perfect. Please don't sell them.
You know she wouldn't.
No, I know.
Boy. What is one positive and one negative memory you have with buying toys?
I've purchased a few Pops when I was first collecting that I found out years later were fake. So that was definitely a bummer. I think a lot of collectors go through that and you just have to learn and be more savvy and understand that if something's a really good deal when it comes to Funko Pops especially, it's probably too good to be true. Yeah.
So negative. So I'll give a positive. I really like when new things come out that I'm excited for because of it goes again back to space. There's not a lot of things that I allow myself to get excited for. So when something comes out that is an amazing 3-pack, for instance, that I'm super excited for this year, it makes me love the product even more. It just solidifies why we started collecting in the first place, and it just gives me something to look forward to in the coming weeks.
Absolutely. Would that be the diamond 3-pack?
Yes. It is.
That's really, I already wanted it before we found it out that it was limited, but now we know that it's limited. It's just like multiplied the hype, you know?
Mm-hmm. If I had to pick two things off the SDCC list for 2023, it would be the Fairly Odd Parents, because I didn't think they would ever do it. And then obviously Rodimus and Galvatron 2-pack. So there's that.
Yeah.
Well, two things for us are the 2 3-packs. It's the Powerpuff Girl 3-packs and the Fairly Odd Parents.
And the Fairly Odd Parents 3-pack.
I need Little Leia, but I don't think that'll be nearly as expensive.
Oh, Little Leia, yeah.
I need Little Leia.
We've been, the second she showed up on screen with it, me and John, we looked at each other and we were like, that's a Pop right there.
I think they missed the boat. They should have dropped it last year, but it's okay. I'll take her this year.
It'll be easier for us to get. We already have a hard time with the 3-packs. So.
Yeah, everybody's going after the 3-packs.
So if you end up going out to Everett, Washington and getting to talk to Funko and all that good stuff, if you could create any toy, what would you want to create? So Funko gives you the keys to the kingdom or Lego.
Like something different than they already drop?
What's the one thing you would want to create if you were in charge?
It's a good question.
Like line-wise or...
No, it's like if you... Like, not necessarily if you can just go Pop yourself kind of thing, but basically, like, you can create anything you want to create. What would you, they give you the keys to the kingdom. What would you want to create?
I would create, it's funny because Lego sort of has a program like this, but I think it would be very useful for Funko if we could somehow curate it. If Funko could put out in the beginning of the year, if they did it on like a quarterly or biannual or maybe even an annual basis, and they say, hey, we're taking submissions for Funko Pops that you guys want to see, or any sort of character, Funko Soda, like anything that you guys would like to see us make. And then, you know, they have a team sit down and they say, all right, we've narrowed it down to like 5 to 10 submissions. And then they open it up for like 3 months and have the community vote like, all right, out of these 10 Pops, we're going to pick 3 to produce. And, you know, the top 3 with the most votes from this date to this date on whatever website they open it up for, this is what we're going to make. And maybe there'll be like con exclusives or special website drops. But Lego has a similar program with Lego Ideas and the Ideas program, even though it's not perfect. I think Funko did something like that. I feel like it would really just, they're already a company that's very involved with the community, but man, that would just take it to the next level, and people would be so happy.
They did have the suggestion stuff on the website, didn't they? They had a
They did. But I don't know of any suggestions that ever made it to physical form. Like,
I don't think they acknowledge the suggester like Lego does.
Yeah.
The person, they're up, people are voting, and then you have a certain amount to vote, and then you move up to the top bracket, and then that person gets a few sets of their own, so it would be great.
Yeah, and they celebrate the designer, and that would be cool too if they could like celebrate the artists from the community who came up with the custom or came up with the glam shot or the creation of whatever product they went with, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember when they released that page on the website, I was like, oh, finally, after me hounding them on social media every chance I get, make an ALF pop, not elf, ALF, ALF, alien life form, dang it.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about Wacky Wobbler either. What is one piece of advice you would give the toy collecting fandom in general?
Budget. We see a lot of people go over budget. A lot of people will come into whatever hobby, whether it be Funko. Obviously, we're a lot more connected to the Funko community right now, but we do have a little bit of a toe in the Lego community. And I kind of see the same instance happen over there occasionally, but definitely with Funko, you see people come in, they're hard charging about the product, and they just start buying everything. They start going around to retail stores, they're buying from websites, they're pre-ordering, they're, you know, buying con stuff left and right, and they become very overwhelmed. They might run out of space very quickly, and they might exhaust their personal funds very quickly as well. So, and I think that kind of puts a detriment on the hobby when you find yourself in a tough financial spot, and then it kind of creates this angst towards the product that it's not the product's fault that you just happen to like it so much that you burn through X amount of money in a short time. But if you pace yourself and you budget, I think that's where the longevity of like the love for a product can come from.
So I would add on top of that, I would say when you start to like an item, go search through what has been created, because a lot of times you just buy, and then you're a completionist. And then all of a sudden you're kind of overwhelmed that you have like the same thing, seven different versions of it. So if you're not a completionist and you just got into it and you just, like John said, you just pre-ordered and bought from here and bought from there, I would take a minute to see what you really, really like. So then that way you're not overwhelmed and having to sell certain pieces. You're looking at your collection and you're loving every bit of it rather than saying, oh, I can get rid of this to get something else.
Yeah, absolutely. Last question. What is advice you'd give kids who enjoy toys?
Collect what you want. Collect what you love. Don't let anybody stop you. If you have the money for it, of course. If you don't have the money for it, ask your parents if you can do some extra chores around the house and get that allowance money. But don't let anybody tell you not to collect something because it's lame. Because who's to say in 2, 3, 7 years from then, it's now popular and they're collecting it too, and you could have had an advantage and loved it the entire time.
Yeah, definitely. I echo all that stuff. And don't be embarrassed if anyone judges you. You know, it's your life. If you like something, you know, live it up. If the chances are there's something else out there that other people like that doesn't really fit your passions. So who cares what other people think? Don't let it bog you down. And also, if you want something, work for it. Like Joanna said, ask your parents if you can do extra chores. Maybe when you're old enough, pick up a part-time job. Like if you want something, go get it. And no matter how expensive it is, no matter how rare it is, like, don't stop until you get it. Because when you work for it and then you get it, it feels so good.
So basically what he just said, folks, is their slogan. Don't stop shooting until you score.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Always got to loop it in.
Yeah.
Always got to loop it. Hey, everything comes back to Slapshot. All right, folks, we're going to go to one more quick ad break. And I can safely say, regardless of whatever's in the outro, this is easily the shortest Origins we have ever done on this podcast, which is crazy. Because these guys have like 24-hour live streams sometimes. It's nuts. Nuts. But we're going to go to a quick break. We're going to come back to close the show, give these guys a chance to promote all their stuff right after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe podcast from the universe and beyond.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0, and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
We are back here on ToyCast with John and Joanna Darling from Slapshot Pops. First of all, something I should have said at the very beginning of this show, John, thank you for your service. I can't I did not say that at the beginning of the show.
It's completely okay.
By the time I get to question 20, I'm like, ah, crap.
It's completely okay.
So, yes, Slapshot Pops, Slapshot Bricks, what is going on in the Slapshot family?
We are currently on YouTube. Like you said, we do post anywhere from 2 to 3, sometimes 4 videos a week, moving towards trying to create more short form content. And of course, we do live streams on YouTube as well. We're also on Whatnot. We do sell once a week over there, and all the sales we have goes directly back into our business and our YouTube channel. And a big thing coming up for us is we're hoping to save up enough money to purchase our first home next year, which will allow us more space to create more content and, of course, launch our plans for our Lego channel. So we have a lot of big things, hopefully, on the horizon in the next 12 months or so. So we're very grateful for all the support we've gotten. I don't think we ever thought we would get to this point, at least this quickly. I think this is a point we wanted to get to, but I think we've done a lot in a relatively short time, and we have a lot of people to thank for that, including yourself.
Well, like I said to you guys off air, and I'll say it on air, I was kind of lost in 21 after I lost Karen. So, and then I had to move across the country and all that other BS that I had to deal with. So it's like, oh, I need to consume a bunch of content. And I honestly don't even know how I found you guys, because I know you got out of the original, which 3 of the 4 members are still there, out of the original PFO, I believe it was you guys I found first, and then I went over to Vince and Bree with Poppin' Duo, and then Professor Josh, and then Jim with Rock and Roll. So, but I still have no clue. I don't even remember what the first video was that I watched of you guys.
It just happens. It just same thing with some other channels we follow. I couldn't tell you when we found them. I could just tell you that one day they just pop up in your feed. You click on it, or you don't click on it. It just starts playing, and then that's how it happens.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Thank you for joining us here on ToyCast. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays: Apple, Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please, Spotify, and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter @geekcastradio for the network, @tftoycast for the show. I am @tfu1mike. They are over there, but they don't really use it that much. It is @SlapshotPops. They're basically Slapshot Pops everywhere. Facebook, like they said, YouTube, Whatnot, all that stuff. for us on Facebook, Geekcast Radio Network, and TF Toycast as well. Next time on Toycast, we're going to be starting. I don't know when this is going to happen. So currently, the show is probably going to go on another hiatus. There was a hiatus between 179 and now. There's going to be another hiatus between now and whenever we start the Top 100 Toys countdown. For now, I'm TFU and Mike with...
Joanna.
And John.
Saying, join us next time when we'll be talking more toys here on ToyCast. As I said, Top 100 Toys countdown coming up here on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Yeah, we're killing it. This is great.